Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome, welcome. I'm so glad to have you here, my favorite part of the afternoon, where we are endeavoring to find hope for healthy families. And goodness gracious, do we need it? You know, I don't have to tell you that the news headlines are extremely concerning. And, you know, for me, as I look at how the cultural events of today are shaping this generation, I think about the word of the year. And now you may not know that actually there is a word of the year, but that does happen. And the Oxford Dictionary, the American Dictionary, there are different elements that pick the word of the year. But when I look at starting in 2009, I start to see how the world really began to change when we are rapidly acquiring a new vocabulary. In 2009, the word of the year was unfriend, and then we followed that by refudiate, app, GIF or JIF, depending on how you say it, selfie, vape. In 2015, the word of the year was an emoji. It was a laughing face with tears emoji. It wasn't even a real word. And then we follow that in 2016 with post-truth, youthquake, fake news, justice, climate emergency in 2019, with also the singular use of they as a pronoun. And that brings me to what I was thinking about this morning. In 2020, the word of the year was unprecedented. And it feels like we have just been stuck there. We are already almost 4 years out from that, and we still feel like everything is unprecedented. And I don't know about you, but I would really like to go back to some times that maybe were precedented, that were just traditional, that were predictable. And it concerns me as a nurse practitioner. It concerns me as a mom for kids, because we know that unpredictability really contributes to anxiety and depression. When we're looking at Gen Z and Gen Y, we know that we have a generation of kids who are very anxious and very depressed. They feel like the world is unsafe. These are babies who were born post 9/11, and it can be really hard. And what is going on in our country right now with the presidential election, with an assassination attempt, all of those things are really unprecedented in the ways that they are happening, in the narrative that's emerging from those. And we are all very collectively alarmed about the future of our country. And, you know, I've never heard such anxiety and just thinking, what is going to happen? Because everything seems so unprecedented, and the impossible can not only become possible within a 24-hour news cycle, it can have already happened with something else. And the news is running right now 24/7, and I feel the pull as well. I feel the pull to look at the news. I feel anxious. I want to know what's going on. I want to be in the know, because I feel like every time I turn off my phone for a couple of hours and turn it on again, something incredibly crazy has happened again. And we do need those people who are willing to engage with courage and integrity and wisdom to guide the policy decisions that are impacting our daily lives and livelihood. And I thank them for those who work in government, those who work in policy, those who work in news coverage. But I want to give you a reminder that you may have heard me give after the presidential debate happened. And, you know, we all were so stunned by those events and thought, wow, this is really just unbelievable. But little did we know that that was just the opening act of what was going to come. So let me give you this reminder again for those of you who are feeling really anxious and wondering what is going on. We have to remember that our children, no matter what their age, whether they're little or teenagers or grown, our children are watching and learning from our response. Our spouses are looking to us. Our family members are looking to what our response is, because that's what we do when we feel unsafe. We look around and think, okay, what is everybody else's response? That's what you do. If you hear a scary noise in a crowd, you look around and you say, okay, what is everybody else doing? Because you're looking for a social cue for your safety. And our kids are doing that. They are listening to our every word, hanging on them. They are watching intently the emotions on our faces. They are making note of our posture, our gestures that we're using when we're talking, the emotion in our voice. I shared before that my husband and I, we can get very passionate discussing these issues. And I was so grateful because we fully agreed, but my child did not have that same perception of our conversation and was crying and asking, why in the world are we fighting? So it's children, no matter what their age, they look to their parents for guidance, for security, and for cues and how to shape their own response. And listen, parents, we have the privilege of stewarding that ability to guide our families and strengthen their faith. So here is my word of encouragement to you. First, we have to remember that God is in control. He is. He is not surprised by any of this. He is not sitting in the throne room of heaven, wringing his hands, wondering, what in the world is going to happen next? Oh my goodness, I never saw this coming. Oh, this is awful. He is all powerful. He is all present. He is all knowing. Assure your family of your faith in a God who is in control, even when the world is absolutely out of control. We can take so much hope and peace in that. The second thing that I really want to encourage you to do is to pray for our country. Pray with your family. Pray for your family. We underestimate the powers of prayers, but we know that the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, right? I'm going back to my King James roots right there. But we know that when two or more are gathered, God hears you. So our prayer time should match the time that we're worrying and talking about all of these current events. And we do find ourselves talking about them. I'm talking about them with my children. And again, you may be thinking, oh, my kids are young. They don't care. They don't know. That's just not true. Even with the recent assassination attempt on President Donald Trump, my children were the first ones who told me about it because they saw that on their social networks. They are looking, they are talking. Show them that your prayer time is matching the time that you spend worrying and talking about it. Model to them that you are trusting God in times of trouble. You are turning your cares into prayers, honestly. And sometimes that may be, now that doesn't have to be, some magical moment where you're all gathered in the living room and everyone's still and quiet, especially if you have little kids and you're holding hands, although that may be something that your family needs to do. If you have been worried about all of this presidential election drama that is going on and you're worried about our country and you have not engaged your family in prayer, do that. Gather them in your living room tonight. Get your spouse, get your children, and say, we are going to have some time of intentional prayer and do that. It may just be sentence prayers where you're just saying, God help me. Just God help me in this moment. Jesus, take the wheel. God help us. It may be an ongoing conversation that you have throughout the day, but we have the opportunity to model to our family that we are trusting God in times of trouble. Praying reduces anger. And I know a lot of us are angry about what's happening. We're angry about the uncertainty that is facing our children, facing future generations. But we know from science that praying actually reduces anger and helps us to direct that anger into action and to do something positive with those feelings of anger and aggression. Prayer also counteracts the flight or fright stage, which a lot of us feel like. We want to run away. We want to just have some sort of action, or we're just frozen, staring at our television. Prayer helps you move out of that. Prayer also reduces feelings of fear and anxiety. And I know a lot of us are very afraid and we are very anxious. Prayer will help you with that. Third, and this is really important, and I am telling you this just as much as I am telling myself this, But here, listen up very, very closely. Turn off the news. Make yourself some boundaries and space around when you're listening to the news. Make sure you're listening to programs like Exploring the Word, where we're talking about Bible study and prayer time. Because if we have scary headlines infusing our hearts and soul 24/7, you know as well as I do that you can watch a news program for about an hour, and then after that, they're just going to recycle talking points. So just tell yourself, these are the times of day that I'm going to check the news, and try to honor that and go with that, because our kids need a break from that. And so do we. You know, I remember after 9/11 being so scared. Now, you have to remember, if you were around on 9/11, that we did not have technology like we do today. And everyone was gathered around their television sets because we didn't have any smartphones. I know this is when my kids say, yes, you are so old, Mom. You were born literally in the era before the internet, which, yes, I was. We didn't have that. And so we were all glued to our television. And I remember that we didn't have cable television even at the time. And the news just took over every bit of programming. And they were on 24/7. It was just news headlines. And my husband and I, we were young newlyweds, and we were afraid to turn it off because we didn't know what was going to happen. And we just felt like we needed that tether. And it went for days and days and days. And I remember sitting at the dinner table with him one night and hearing a sitcom come on, Everybody Loves Raymond. And all of a sudden, I started to hear their voices bickering back and forth and people laughing, the little laugh track. And I'm telling you, something shifted in our house. And I realized the emotional burden that I was taking on, the tension that was being caused by having the news on 24/7. And I think of that, if you like country music, I do like Alan Jackson. And he wrote that song about 9/11 and said, did you turn on I Love Lucy reruns? And I thought, sometimes that's the kind of thing that we need. And that is the kind of thing that our kids need. We need a break from this, because this presidential election situation is not going to be solved overnight. It's not going to be better tomorrow. We have a long haul. The election is not until November. We need a break. Our kids need a break from scary news. So I want you to be really intentional in taking some time to play and to laugh together. Do something fun. Do something intentionally fun. Turn off the news and watch an I Love Lucy rerun, or play a game and something that's fun. Our family loves to play charades. Their favorite thing is when their grandmother is acting things out. But make sure also that you're talking to your kids to meet them where they are. Ask them specifically, starting from the age of about 5 or 6. I mean, honestly, it depends on what kind of people they're in, what kind of community they're exposed to, what kind of news coverage they're exposed to. Just ask them, what are you hearing about the presidential election? Or what do you see on the news? What do you think that we're talking about? How are you feeling about that? How is this impacting you personally? How can I help you feel safe and secure? And what can you do to make a positive difference? So I challenge every family out there, what can you do to make a positive difference? One thing I'm doing with my family is I have a pack of cards that I got from the dollar store, and we are writing notes to thank people who are serving in elected office, serving in churches, to people who have ministered to us, people who have worked with us, because we know that gratitude really, really changes your emotional mindset, and it reduces our blood pressure, it reduces our anger. And so that's one thing that we're doing just to make a positive difference. Be mentally, emotionally, and physically present. That's what your kids need more than anything right now. Listen with your face and reassure them that no matter what the future holds, we know who holds the future, and we can rest in that. Say that to them today. No matter what the future holds, we know who holds the future. We can rest in that. I'm going to be back right after this break with Bishop E.W. Jackson. Many of you I know are super excited about that. And we'll talk about his new podcast on AFR when we come back. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you, we need to save them. That is why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that is a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies, and that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings, and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. Of skies and seas, His hand the wonders wrought.
Welcome back, friends, and what a great, encouraging message for today. What a message for our hearts that this is our Father's world, and we can rest in that thought for sure. Well, I am excited to have Bishop E.W. Jackson here today. His podcast is back here on American Family Radio. I know that many of you are very excited to see that. And his podcast is called The Awakening. It deals with the pressing issues confronting Americans today, cultural, economic, political, and national security, just what we were just talking about. He is the founder and president of STAND, Staying True to America's National Destiny, and is on a mission to awaken the body of Christ and all Americans to the fundamental threat to the spiritual and moral foundations of our constitutional republic. And more than mere rhetoric, he is offering real solutions. Bishop Jackson, thank you so much for joining us today to tell us about your podcast.
Well, Jessica, it's a pleasure. It's an honor. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, for listeners who may be new, tell us a little bit about yourself and your Christian testimony.
Well, look, I have been walking with the Lord. Come December, it will be 48 years. I got saved while I was in law school, and God just really revolutionized my life. In fact, I tell people two of the things God showed me very early on in my Christian walk that have really marked my Christian walk was, one, that America was His gift to us, to His people, and that we were to be stewards of it. And two, that race was irrelevant to Him, and human beings make it important. And He gave me a ministry, really, of reminding people that we are really all of, as Acts 17:26 says, He has made of one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth and determine their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. And so those things have kind of marked my Christian walk and have gotten me into the fray, as it one might say, on the issues of the day, because I felt compelled by God to be a steward of this great gift of the United States of America that He's given us.
Well, your background is really impressive, Bishop Jackson. You served in the United States Marines. You graduated cum laude with a Phi Beta Kappa key from the University of Massachusetts at Boston. You went to Harvard Law School. You're an ordained pastor. You're consecrated as a bishop. You're an author, a former political candidate, and a frequent guest on media now here on AFR. You've been all over the television. How do you see God using your giftings to serve his kingdom? All of those ways that he called you and equipped you to do, how are you doing that now?
Well, it's first and foremost with maintaining the attitude, what I have, he gave me, what I am, he made me, what I know, he taught me, and where I am, he brought me. So to God be the glory for the things that he has done. I tell audiences all over the country as I have an opportunity to speak, the moment it really becomes about you is the moment you are headed for disaster. And so one thing I remember is that, you know, I am God's servant, and my chief ambition in life is not to advance my career. My chief ambition in life is to advance his agenda for mankind and to witness to people the good news of who Jesus Christ is. And if I'm doing that, I'll leave the rest to him. But, you know, people, I think, know about me. Then I'm going to tell them the truth, good, the ugly, the bad, the indifferent. I'm going to tell them the truth because I really believe that that's what God has called us to do. He said to Pilate, when Pilate said, you know, are you indeed a king? Jesus said, for this cause I came into the world, to bear witness to the truth. All who are of the truth hear my voice. So if we're following Jesus, we're supposed to be heralds of truth.
Well, and this is such a time for truth. I mean, your podcast, The Awakening, coming back to AFR in light of all of these political headlines that have the nation in an uproar. There is so much anxiety. What has God put on your heart as a message for such a time as this, to give truth and wisdom and hope when it seems like we turn on the news and all we see is a daily diet of despair? How do you counter that?
Well, first, Jessica, it really is an honor to be able to speak to God's people in the midst of this chaos and confusion and to bring them the truth of God's word in the middle of it, because we really desperately need it. I mean, we always do, but in times like these, we really do need a Savior and we really do need the truth. And so that's the first attitude I had, that, wow, what a wonderful opportunity. And of course, I'm going to always talk about things from angles that they're not going to get in the mainstream media. They'll get it here on AFR, but they won't get it on a Fox News. They won't get it on Newsmax even. The conservative, they certainly won't get it on the Marxist Socialist No Brains channel, MSNBC or the Communist News channel, CNN. So we bring a Christian perspective to things and bring up issues that others might think, well, why are you even bringing that up? Because I'm coming not from a conservative perspective, but from a biblical worldview conservative perspective. And I think that's what people want to hear. And of course, it certainly is what they need to hear.
You know, I see a lot of people who are just discouraged by the divisiveness, by the vitriol that's happening in the political arena. And there are a lot of people, too, who are just genuinely afraid to speak up about their views and values. They are afraid to say. And, you know, I see a lot of times in professional arenas where I am, you know, this narrative kind of takes over and there's somebody in there who's sitting thinking, I don't believe this. This is not what I think. But they are afraid to raise their hand or raise their voice or to speak up. What do you say that you offer solutions on your show? How do you encourage them to be part of the solution and to raise their hand and to raise their voice and to raise their prayers more than anything?
Well, God always tells us in his word to do not fear. And we're also told repeatedly to have courage, to be a good courage, to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And so I remind the body of Christ, there's no such thing as courage without conflict. It just doesn't exist, because you're living in a world in which you're swimming against the tide or against the stream, if you will. And so that puts you in conflict with the direction in which the world is going. What we have to remember is that in spite of that, we still love people. We still pray for them. We still want the best for them. We don't hate people. We hate falsehood. The Bible says we're supposed to hate every false way, but we don't hate people. And we don't allow people to define who we are and what we think. We define that based upon who God tells us we are. I would say, you know, you can't serve people on their terms. You have to serve them on God's terms, because people will want things of you that God doesn't want you to do. But if you serve them on God's terms, in the end, they'll ultimately be benefited and thank you for it, at least if they accept the service you're providing for them.
Well, we have a very consequential presidential election coming in November.
Yes.
I was speaking in the first segment about the word of the year in 2020 was unprecedented, and it feels like that has stuck. I mean, the things that are happening on a daily basis are unprecedented. How should families engage in voting their values? Because I don't talk to anybody who isn't concerned about the future for children and future generations. How can families engage?
Look, there's no question that the platform of the Republican Party is far closer to the Christian worldview than is the platform of the Democrat Party. In fact, magnitudes of order above in difference. However, we don't vote party ultimately, and we don't vote personality. We vote principle. We vote the word of God, and we seek those candidates, and we seek those political expressions or parties, if you will, that are closest to what we know God wants for our country. Righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. And when the righteous are in authority, that doesn't mean the perfect, but I think that means when people who are advocating for the things that God says is right or are right, then the people rejoice. And so we've just got to keep that in mind and don't get hung up on, well, how can you support Donald Trump? Well, it's ultimately not about Donald Trump. It's about what he represents and the policies he advances and whether those are consistent with my Christian and biblical worldview. And so I'm going to stand with the person who I believe stands closest to where God wants us to be. And we don't have to feel guilty about that or feel, well, I'm, you know, Jesus is not on the ballot, as I remind everybody, Jessica. You know, you've got two human beings on the ballot. And the question is, who best represents the values that we hold dear? And I hear Donald Trump saying his life was saved by the grace of God, that the voting day on the first Tuesday of November is going to be Christian Visibility Day as opposed to Transgender Visibility Day. And so I see him reaching out and telling the Christian community, I am with you, I am for you, I support you. And I'll tell you, that is so different than what we've gotten in this administration that is now in office.
You know, I remember one time having an argument with my husband, Bishop Jackson, and he, you know, I was telling him, oh, you should do this or you should do that or this is what I expect. And he finally looked at me and said, honey, you know that I'm not Jesus, right? Like, we need to get that clear here because your expectation is way out of whack. But, you know, I see a lot of parents who are worried about influencing their children's worldview. And I see a lot of conflict because a lot of times I see parents who are so passionate about this and they lead with lecturing and kids are just tuning out. What do you see as ways that parents can encourage and influence their children to develop a biblical worldview?
Control their interaction with the internet and what they watch. Get them out of these government schools and either homeschool them or put them in Christian school and constantly engage your children on the issues of the day. They want guidance. They want leadership. Explain to them why we stand where we stand so that we don't get defined by the mainstream media or the internet or what they're the latest thing they're watching online. But they get to we define for them who we are and where we stand and always rooted and grounded in God's truth. And I think if parents do that, their children are going to come out just fine, even in this lost and sick and dying world. And in fact, their children may help lead us out of it.
I think you're right that we really underestimate the ability of children to understand what is going on and their desire for guidance and their ability to contribute to make positive change. I mean, I see so many young people. There's a lot of negative talk about Gen Z, but I see a lot of kids in Gen Z who are passionate about Jesus and his kingdom and about lifting those values high. And I think that is really important to do. How do we find hope in a world that it doesn't seem like there is hope? And that's one of my concerns, Bishop Jackson, is that we're telling this next generation that the world is on fire. It's so terrible. This is so awful. It's never been this bad. And then we wonder why they're anxious and depressed as a generation. How do we find hope over despair when it seems like the circumstances call for despair?
Well, Jessica, the Word of God says, where there is no vision, the people perish, Proverbs 29:18, and vision comes from God. And I think that the way we have hope is to keep our eyes on what God wants to do with us and for us and to and through us and to us, as opposed to what the world and the devil want to do. We have to stay in the Word of God. We have to just continually bridle our tongues and speak what the Word says, not what the world says. and control our emotions so that we don't slide into despair because of the way things are going, but we rather elevate ourselves with praise and thanksgiving for all that God is doing. I mean, look, the reality, Jessica, is we've won already. I mean, all the stuff we're going through, and it's not unimportant, but we've won already. Mm-hmm. And we as Christians have got to remind ourselves of that. And I really believe God loves this country, that it was ordained by him as providential nation. And I don't believe that God is going to allow America to descend into godlessness as long as his people stand up.
You know, that reminds me of a worship song by Shane and Shane. And the title of that song is You've Already Won. And it's such a good reminder because it says, we're fighting a battle. You've already won. No matter what comes our way, we will overcome. I don't know what you're doing, but I know what you've done. And I love that. And of course, that's just based in scripture. And you've given us so much scripture infused throughout your responses. And, you know, Bishop Jackson, that's one thing that we're doing here on the Dr. Nurse Mama Show is every week we introduce a new habit for healthy families. And one of the first habit we introduced was prayer. The second one was scripture, because God's word is so much wiser than any reassurance that we could provide out of our own human nature. So how do we provide reassurance to our family? I think this is a really important time because people are looking, especially to dads, to the leaders of their family, to see how are you responding. It's such a great opportunity for us to demonstrate our faith. How would you encourage people to do that?
Oh, Jessica, it's in the action. It's in modeling what we say we believe. It's in demonstrating how we can be courageous and bold, at the same time be loving and forgiving and understanding of people's frailties, how we can care about our families and minister to them and nurture to them, at the same time take a stand on the broader, the more cosmic issues that may not be a problem within our household, but they're a problem in our country, in our community. I think, you know, look, true wisdom is more caught than taught. And we are not wise because we know things or can recite things. We are wise because we make wise decisions and we take wise actions. And I think God has had me focusing for the last year really on the book of Proverbs and on wisdom in general, telling me that because of the era we're coming into, wisdom is going to become even more important than it's ever been in our lives. And so walk it out, work it out, model it out, because that's the way our children are going to pick it up.
It's so true. And I think of the verse from 1 Corinthians, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. And, you know, I think of a quote I heard too once that said, if God was small enough to be understood, he would not be big enough to be worshiped. And we may not understand all of these things that are going on, but thankfully we have a God who does. Thank you so much for joining us, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Thank you,
his
Jessica.
Podcast, The Awakening, is back. You can find it on American Family Radio. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you as you continue your good work. Thank you so
Amen.
Much for joining
Thank
us.
You.
Okay, well, we'll be back right after this break with Ann Cockrell from Hannah's Heart. She's going to tell us about the Bibles for Babies campaign. Can't wait to talk about this. I'll see you on the other side of this break.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. We believe that our ministry, as well as everything in the heavens and on earth, belongs to God, and our role is that of a trusted manager.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
Heard you were up all night, thinking about how your world ain't right, and you wonder if things will ever get better, and you're asking why is it always raining on you, when all you want is just a little good news, instead of standing there stuck out in the weather.
Welcome back, friends. That is a message that we need to hear, right? I mean, when we were up all night thinking about how our world isn't right and we wonder, are things ever going to get better? That is a message that we need today. That song is Stronger by Mandisa, and the world is just a little bit sadder without her beautiful voice in it, but thankfully we still have her music. I'll share with you that one of my daughters used to listen to this song every day before a particularly difficult class, and she would use that to prep her up to go. And so I'm so grateful that we have music like that. And think about that. That's one of our healthy habits that we've adopted this year. That was in the first month back in January, if you've been following along, is thinking about the music that you play in your home. And when the news has been pretty scary, particularly scary over the last 2 weeks, think about what music you're playing. And you may need to just replace some of that news ingestion with some music, because music really does influence our hearts, our minds, our attitudes. And so I encourage you just to blast some praise music to really impact your spirit. If you're needing a little pick-me-up, that's a great way to do it. Well, listen, on Friday, on Ask Dr. Nurse Mama Friday, I'll be talking about the habit for the week. We're talking about some safety tips, some really practical things during these summer months. Last week, I talked about sun safety. This week, I'll be talking about water safety. So tune in Friday, and I'll be diving into that. But I'm really excited today to have Ann Cockrell. She hosts Hannah's Heart, which is, of course, a radio show right here on American Family Radio to help Christian couples who are struggling with infertility and miscarriage. It's hosted by Ann Cockrell and Kendra White. So, Ann, welcome back to the show. We're so glad to have you here.
I'm so glad to be back. Thanks for having me.
Well, I understand congratulations are in order. Is that correct?
Yes. I'm so excited to say that our girl is here. We talked about her last time on your show that she was almost here. So
we talked about how, honestly, I was a little disappointed you didn't have her on the show, but, you know, I'm still nursing a little grudge on that, but I'm okay.
I forgot it was that close to her being here.
It was really close. I think, you know, all of the board operators were like, no. But I was ready, Anne. I was ready. I would have been there for you, I promise.
Oh, I believe you. I don't know if I was ready.
Well, congratulations, really and truly. And it is such a great blessing to hear your program. And you and I have been on each other's program. I've shared my own journey of loss and pregnancy, and you have shared yours. And we are so excited to talk about Bibles for Babies. Now, this is a week-long initiative to raise funds for mamas who chose life for this baby, for their baby. So tell us why. Tell us how did this come about, Anne?
So if anyone has listened to our program, Hannah's Heart, over the last year, I'm sure they've tuned in a few times to hearing about how we lost our son, John Micah, last summer, last July 17th. He was born at 26 weeks, and he was in my womb for 26 weeks. He was on earth for 27 minutes, and he is now in glory for eternity. And so, so we celebrated his birthday last Wednesday, and just a few months ago, I feel like the Lord was just laying it on my heart of what could it look like to celebrate in a bigger way, but, you know, like there's no birthday party, no opening gifts or blowing out candles, you know, that he would be able to do, which is, you know, so sad. But like, what can we do on that day or that week to honor other babies? And so that is Parkgate is a pregnancy center here in Tupelo where our home base is for American Family Association. And we have had the director of Parkgate on our show. She has her own, honestly, gruesome story of loss herself over and over and over again. She has gone through loss, and she now is the director of Parkgate Pregnancy Center. And so she is using her hurt to help other women. And so I feel like the Lord was just laying that pregnancy center on my heart. I was like, what could we do? And so after having multiple conversations with Parkgate and then with AFA leadership, we came up with this idea of Bibles for Babies because I think it was last year that Parkgate started providing the New Beginner's Bible for any mom who came into Parkgate and had a positive pregnancy test. They provided one of those Bibles to that new mama. And they have even had a mama come back. She took that Bible home that day and read that Bible to her baby, who was in her belly at the time, read that whole Bible. She had never had a Bible of her own, and came back to the clinic that week and said, I want to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And so she, you know, the Lord used a baby Bible, really, to bring this lady to salvation and to save that baby. She chose life for the life living inside of her. And so once they told us that, and we met with leadership, I think we were all just on board, like, yeah, that's what we want to do. That's what we can do to celebrate John Micah's birthday, is helping Parkgate to provide these Bibles for babies.
Well, you know what I think is so beautiful about that, Anne? I mean, so many things. But this is the beauty of John Micah's life. Mm. He lived for less than half an hour on earth, but look at the impact that he is having for days and years and generations to come. Mm. I mean, that God would use a baby to impact others for good, and take a tragedy and use it for our good and for his glory is just absolutely amazing. And that's got to make you feel just really good as John Micah's mama. Well, how can people contribute? What can they do?
So we have a few different ways. You can always call in. I have the number for that if you want me to share it.
Yeah, I do.
So it's 877-616-2396. You can call in. That's our donor support department. That's actually where I started here at AFA. There's some sweet, sweet ladies that work in that department, so you'll be happy to talk to any of them who answer the phone. They'll take good care of you and your donation. You can also go online at afr.net and /Bibles for Babies. And there was also an email sent out. So if you get the AFA email, there's a link right there that you can click on. And then we have shared the podcast from Hannah's Heart this past weekend that introduced Bibles for Babies. And there's a link there too on Facebook. So lots of different ways.
There are. And I'll tell you, Anne, I'm getting on there and I'm going to donate 7 Bibles because I want one for every baby that I have. I have 4 on earth and 3 in heaven, as I've shared before on Hannah's Heart. And I encourage people to do this because you never know. I mean, there is nothing more comforting, I think, than the Word of God when you're going through something really terrible. And you know what, Anne, that's what we've been talking about on the show today, is just the kind of dreary state of the nation everyone is just, I mean, everyone, it doesn't matter what your political persuasion, there is nobody that's not concerned. And obviously we are very concerned about what is going on, all these unprecedented things, what's going to happen. But you know what? Helping somebody else in the middle of your own anxiety or grief can help you find healing. So tell us more about how that can be.
So if you've listened to Hannah's Heart at all, we have had many different programs about what we can do in our wait. If you're walking through infertility or waiting on a job or waiting on a spouse or waiting on your life to look different than what you pictured it or than what it is right now, not to waste that wait. And so what can we do during the time that we're waiting on the Lord to answer the prayers that feel like right now aren't being answered, or at least not the way that we pictured it? And so it might seem odd that we're helping a crisis pregnancy center whenever those pregnancies usually aren't planned. Whenever we're a podcast and radio show talking about people who desire that unplanned pregnancy almost, you know, like, I would take any baby from anywhere because I'm walking through infertility or miscarriages, things like that. And so it seems odd that we would reach out to a crisis pregnancy center, but we want to encourage anyone struggling with infertility, miscarriage, child loss, those things to not be bitter about where these women are who are walking through crisis pregnancies. Those lives are worth saving too. You know, even it's not the baby's fault. It's not that little life's fault of how they're entering this world. And those mamas need help. A lot of those mamas need Jesus. And so that is what we're called to as Christians. We're not to just sit and mope in our weight or in our hurt. God, you know, tells us to bring them to Him and to give those hurts and losses to Him, and He will take care of us. And I've had to learn that a whole lot over this past year. But we can't just sit and, you know, just wait around doing nothing. We are supposed to honor the Lord, whether He's giving or whether He's taking away. Blessed be His name at any time. And so that is the reason why we are encouraging people, even if you're not local and you're like, I would rather help my local pregnancy center. AFA might not know about that donation, but I encourage you to donate to your pregnancy center if you're wanting to support locally. Let us know if that's how you would like to do it. We definitely encourage you to call in and donate to Parkgate Pregnancy Center and give that new baby that is on the way a new Bible.
Well, you're right. AFA may not know, but the Lord knows.
He that is
sees
correct.
What is done in secret, and He rewards that. And we know it is more blessed to give than to receive, for sure. And again, that number you can call is 877-616-2396, or go online to afr.net/Bibles4Babies. This is, you know, babies are close to my heart. This is my profession. This
That's
is
right.
my calling. This is my ministry as a mom. And so I think that, you know, just in light of everything going on, whatever you're going through, and in light of all of the just political turmoil that has us all deeply concerned, this is a great way. I talked in the first segment, Anne, about turning your anger into action, you know, and forwarding and channeling that in a positive direction. And I can't think of a better way to do it than this. Well, thank you. And tell us, actually, before I let you go, tell us about Hannah's Heart, just in case anybody new is listening in. Tell them what the podcast is and where they can catch it.
So the podcast mainly started out as an infertility miscarriage podcast, the topics that we would cover, and it's definitely still that. But we have covered so many other topics along the way: foster care, adoption, international adoption, child loss, different so many different things, and showing that how the Lord can grow families. You can listen to Hannah's Heart on Saturdays at 5 p.m. and on Sundays at 11.
Absolutely. And you can hear them giving you encouragement and send it to somebody you know, because we talked about this before, Anne, how common it is to struggle with infertility, with miscarriage, with pregnancy loss. This is something that either you are struggling with or you know someone who is struggling with. This is something that touches everybody. So listen in on how to selflessly serve others in the middle of their deep grief. I will give you the number one more time. It's 877-616-2396, or go to afr.net/Bibles4Babies. And thank you so much for being with us. And thank you for honoring John Micah in such a beautiful way. And may his legacy continue to live on and just bless so many generations to come.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for joining us. Let me end by giving you some scriptures to encourage us. I've shared some of these scriptures before, but these are just a word of encouragement and blessing and reminder for today, as we're all anxiously watching the news with concern. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. Matthew 6:34. "Do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." And Psalm 27:1. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" And from Job 12:10, in his hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind, including your precious life. So thank you for joining us today. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you. And I'll see you here tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.